Okay, I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, BetOnline, our exclusive wagering partner. BetOnline, of course, where you get all your action on NFL football, NBA basketball, about to get started up in the coming weeks here. And BetOnline AG is the place you want to go. More options to wager than anywhere else online. So online today, take advantage of all the great midseason bonuses, offers, and contests. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Use the code CLNS50 when you go to betonline.ag. Once again, betonline.ag, code CLNS50 to get you 50% off your initial deposit. All right, guys, welcome in. Celtics post-game report, final preseason game. The Godden Report. Jimmy, Bobby, yikes. Joey.
Tommy, Ricky, Frankie, yeah.
Ricky, Dan, I got our family over here from Boston, kid.
Yeah. Ricky, Bobby. So without hyperbole, and Bobby and I were talking about this prior to the game, I think it's very safe to say there's not one positive thing you could say about tonight.
I guess thing is it can only go up from here. There's nothing worse than that.
Looked okay.
Teague and portions of Tatum, I'd say. But yeah.
What portions? Well, I want to get to that in a minute.
We're talking relative to standard.
Sorry, I wasn't going to get angry.
He's attacking the rim. I think he only complained once to the referee. That's not bad. Preseason numbers, that's not bad.
This was gross. For multiple reasons. So get everybody's first impressions. First, the shooting is the shooting. Atrocious. Nobody's going to the basket. When they are trying to go to the basket, they can't get there. Just brick after brick after brick. And again, when Tatum and Jaylen aren't knocking, the absence of shooting on this team, and if this team is going to rely on shooting, is the scariest thing by far to me. That if this is who they are, a team that's just going to fire it up there and they can't shoot, oh, man, are we in trouble?
Yeah.
We're in big trouble.
Especially when you have open shots. Like, how many times do these guys get open looks, especially Jaylen Brown? It seemed like essentially they were like, let's see if Jaylen can actually shoot at a high level against us. And they sort of gave him that space, right? But then what did he do? He did the good thing. He did the right thing. He attacked the rim early on. But then when they adjusted, when they locked down defensively, the Celtics were beside themselves. I personally thought the Celtics not only lacked the continuity that they needed to produce offense as a whole. I mean, Jason Tatum had to stay out there with the second unit because it was so bad. But also, I thought they lacked confidence. I mean, the front rimming, I'm sure some people will say, oh, that's just fatigue. But did they even look confident out there? Did Marcus Smart even look that confident for Marcus Smart? You know, someone heading into, you know, how many years he's been in the league now? And I was a little thrown off a bit by Marcus today, especially offensively. I know he started ice cold, covered off really ice cold. But I thought he was trying to, you know, at least put some more effort into it. But it seemed like he was like, you know what, guys, I'm not feeling it tonight. I'm checking out, you know, and I'm just going to keep playing defense because I got nothing on the offense.
So this was, I guess you could say, my biggest fear for the Celtics. And I think John's probably his biggest fear, too, was that the Kemba-less overcompensating Smart Celtics. And I think that's kind of what you got from the start tonight. It was like Marcus Smart was not shy at all putting up some of those three-pointers. I think he was 1-for-6. I don't know if he finished 1-for-6, but I think I saw him at one point. And these are some pretty bad misses. And, yeah, I mean, when you miss open shots, I'm not really worried about missing open shots. I don't think Brad Stevens is either. I mean, he'll be the first one to say, you know, we got the looks, but they just didn't fall. It happens. But when you start just chucking shots and it's to the point where, like, nobody on the team is really feeling it. So you don't have enough, like, offensive help right now to like get over those shooting slumps. Like if Jason Tatum isn't giving you 25-30 a night and Jaylen Brown's not giving you 20-25 a night, like you're screwed. Like there's just not enough firepower on this team to carry the lulls in the offense throughout the game. So it was pretty troubling to watch from the start. And I'll tell you what, the Brooklyn Nets are real. I've seen enough.
There we go. I tried to tell you guys about this team. They are a monster. 1-15 almost. Like I even forgot Timothy Luwawu-Cabarrón was on the team, and he was their best player in the bubble last year.
I forgot that's how you actually say his whole name.
he is a phenomenal bench player. Caris LeVert comes off their bench. Jeff Green comes in and yams it on Aaron Naismith.
I gotta say that was the that was the biggest indignity of the entire night. Not only
oh man,
good. Welcome to the league, young fella.
He kicked him right in the nuts and jammed it right in his face. Oh,
man. And then Peyton Pritchard had his rookie moment, too. He got caught on Kevin Durant isolation a few times. So everybody just went out there and got their ass kicked tonight. So I look at that and say, you can't go any lower than what it looked like out there. But as Jimmy said, that Nets team, suddenly you start thinking of them as serious contenders, because Kevin Durant goes out there and does what he did in that third quarter, 11 points, the efficiency on 4-7, just tearing through the defense. At one point, he scored through 5 bench Celtics. That team is something to behold from how they look right now. Injuries, other things could affect them throughout the year. We all talked about chemistry concerns there. There could be a trade, but as they look right now, that team is incredible. And you have to be concerned about the Celtics too. Like, you know, preseason doesn't mean everything, but it means something. So
that's the thing. See, here's where, like, you're going to get into the debate. People like us or other places might overreact some to what you've seen. And the defense here is going to be, okay, it's just the preseason, it doesn't mean anything. That's true. But what can also be true is nothing was good about anything that you saw tonight, and it was, on its own, a dog shit performance and deserves to be talked about as such. Doesn't mean it's not going to be, but the lack of effort, the terrible shooting, the horrible defense, and then not even to get into the individual play for people who you want to see take a leap. You just don't want to see Jaylen Brown having guys just walk by him, you know, on defense. I don't like seeing Jason Tatum not able to turn the corner on anybody when he's trying to get to the basket, okay? I know he's a little bigger, but the defenders in front of him, almost always, he is able to get his shot off a little bit better, but he's not getting around the corner on anybody. Shots are going to fall. That doesn't even bother me that much. Yeah. Just nothing looks impressive at all. And then when you see the second unit, you know, that's the actual second unit. This is not an illusion, you know?
Right. Like, who was Brad? I mean, I know what he was.
This is not a priest. This is not, oh, just the preseason. This is actually it. That's your second. Right. And again, I know you're going to have Tristan Thompson and eventually Kemba comes back, but that's it. That's it. That's
the troubling thing. Yeah. And when you look at the Nets, I mean,
yeah.
When you look at the Nets, I mean, LeVert coming off the bench, Shamet coming off the bench, Allen, who, I mean, he's probably your starting center on the Celtics. He's coming off the bench. I mean, these are good guys that add depth to the Nets. And when you look at the Celtics, like I said, they just don't seem to have the depth. Nobody's carrying the load. When Marcus Smart gets into his shooting, you know, eyes on the prize, shooting all the time, that seems to slow everybody else down. I didn't think anyone stepped up tonight. I mean, like Josue said, Tatum showed some signs. He was driving to the hoop, looking aggressive at points. Looks like he's, you know, put on a little bit of you know, muscle there in the short off season. So I like what I see out of him. I'm not concerned about Tatum, obviously, but do the Celtics have enough to be a top tier team in the East? Now they have to contend with the Bucks. Looks like they're going to have to contend with the Nets. Are they at that level? And it's only been 2 preseason games. Obviously, you can't base it all on that. But when you're going down, just look roster by roster, you have to wonder if this is just, you know, it actually is indicative of how the season's going to go to an extent.
Well, that's the thing. That's the worrisome thing. And again, we're joking about it a little, but one of the things we talked about prior to the game was, you know, Bobby's like, well, you know, this team looks really good. You know, I'm like, right. Well, every team looks really good. I'm afraid that we're going to say that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all knew the Brooklyn Nets, where they stand, you know, in comparison to the Celtics right now. We know the Milwaukee Bucks are up there, too. Like, these teams are a cut above the rest, but the Celtics aren't in that group. I mean, that's the thing. They should be,
Josue.
Yeah, but they should they? Should they? I mean, did they really address missing Gordon Hayward or losing him, I should say? Did they really address Kemba Walker?
That's the thing.
Kemba Walker's on his way back, but, I mean – moving forward, what's going to happen without Kemba Walker? You have to figure this thing out. And to John's point about Jason Tatum, Brad Stevens has to find a way to get him going in the first quarter, because I'm telling you right now, this will be a pattern throughout the season that's going to drive us crazy, and this is what is going to happen. They're going to get down by 15 points, 13, 12, 15 points in the first half, and they're going to try to crawl out of that hole, and they just do not have the second unit to pull it off. They don't. The second unit can stop the bleeding at certain points. I think that defensively, they're strong enough to do that for the starters, but they're not going to put up points in a hurry. Jeff Teague is the only one that can put the ball on the floor. And put it this way, when Jeff Teague was doing that tonight, everyone stood there and looked at him, because They know they could never do that. They could never do what Jeff Teague did tonight. I mean, that's why you saw Jason Tatum in that second unit, and that's why guys like him and Jaylen Brown are going to have to play closer to 40 minutes. But if they're not going, if you don't see their offense picking up in that first half, the Celtics are in trouble. This is a pattern that we'll continue to see, at least in the first month of the season.
So the genesis I see of everything that went wrong offensively tonight was the first few minutes of this game, and I've noticed this now a few times throughout these first few games, is Marcus Smart is starting these games off on the ball, and we talked about him all offseason. Does he deserve to move up to 37? Is he ready to step into the third position on this team? And it's not a good film so far for him. Some of the turnovers with him have been mindless. The first one in the Philadelphia game and the first one tonight were equally just like, what are you doing? Spinning around the perimeter and just throwing the ball to nowhere. Transition, he's getting picked off. This is a phenomenal passer and a usually good decision maker who's taking risks that are, I guess, preseason reaches maybe, but they're more concerning than that. And yeah, it's definitely a bit of laziness in his decision making. And this is your most reliable ball handler. He's a starter. He's starting these games off on the ball. And we look at the wings, the way they run the pick and roll and everything else. They're not ready to man the amount of ball time. So when we look at the ball time on the team about a month in, Smart's going to be number one by far. And how he does with that's going to dictate pretty much the whole offense.
This didn't mean much in the grand scheme, but you were just talking about Marcus Smart's decision making. What was that pass at the end of the second quarter? There was four.
The transition four, one?
Yeah.
No. From the baseline. From the baseline. When he threw like a Hail Mary pass into like four defenders. It's like, dude, there's 4.5 seconds left. Just inbound the ball and get down the court. You didn't have to throw it. Like, I mean, it was an immediate turnover. Luckily, the Nets turned it over at the same time right after that. But, I mean, it's just another example of like what's going through your mind right now. I have a crazy thought that I'm not going to bring up yet, but it may fix all the Celtics' offensive issues.
Looking forward to it, man.
It's not Joe Sway level.
Start doing the calculations.
It's not Carson Edwards, but it's close.
It's not the last card.
Is it Emile Jefferson?
It's too early for the last card. It's preseason. Come on.
Sean, you tell me to hold on.
No, go ahead. I want you to do it. I was doing the Joe Sway calculations thing.
Listen, Isaiah Thomas is still out there, folks. Thomas is still out there as a free agent. And I'm just saying, if you need some offensive boost and you want Marcus Smart coming off the bench more, or you want some offense off the bench, it might be worth an NBA version of a tryout to see what he can offer you. I mean, he's obviously familiar with your organization. The fans love him. Not that that matters that much, but I mean, is he that beyond repair that a team that may actually need some offensive help? It's just out of the question. You can't even bring it up. Like, is it that crazy?
But they don't have a roster spot. That's the thing.
Don't tell me they don't have a roster spot. Look at this roster. They have 12 roster spots.
I'll tell you this. I don't think Danny should get on the phone tomorrow, but I think if the Kemba Walker, once he's –
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Reevaluate him in January. If we're talking about another 3-week setback, why not? Why not give the guy a tryout? You know,
they know more about Kemba's eventual return than we do. So maybe if he's back sooner than we all think, then maybe that's not in the cards. But if we're looking at, you know, February, March for Kemba Walker, I mean, what are we going to be watching? You know, mid to late January. What type of team are we going to be looking at?
Well, you got to give them that ramp up period, and they're going to need it apparently. Like, they're going to need the first 3 weeks here to just get in the form and just get their heads on straight. I mean, the decision making in some of these games has been puzzling from the ball handlers. Yeah. I don't think Tatum's been that bad. I think, you know, John makes a good point that he's not getting around the pick and roll as well as he should be and making the reads there with Rob Williams.
Everything is really deliberate with him, you know, like he's going and he's almost like, I'm Jason Tatum, you know, like I'm going to get there. And then all of a sudden there's a guy right there every time.
Well, what's surprising tonight, and I guess this is my one positive if I had to search for one tonight, is Jaylen Brown actually looked decent in that role. And I started off the season saying, can this guy run a pick and roll? It hasn't been anything outstanding, but he is, you know, getting off the screen, finding Rob Williams on the lob and actually getting himself some points in that regard. His night wasn't too bad, I thought, tonight. 7-15, 16 points. Now, it's nothing outstanding. The three-point shooting wasn't there. But he's showing a little something in that area. But again, we're picking at straws here offensively. None of the units are meshing together. Daniel Tice, I thought, started this game all right with some of the starters, but then like he fouls out. So like everybody's just out of sorts here.
Of course he fouls out. I mean, this guy stepped foot in the court and had three fouls.
Yeah.
Like, even Gorman is joking about it. He's like, five fouls in 12 minutes. That's
oh, war man. On Tice, top man. To bottom, this roster isn't ready. I mean, Jeff Teague's closest. Joe Sway said it. He's providing a nice spark, 5 of 5 from three to start the year. So, like, he's giving you a little something. Maybe you mix him in with the starters and get smart off the ball. This Javonte Green thing is, you know, I get what they were going for there, but I don't think it's going to last into the season.
I don't know. You seem to be pretty bullish on him.
I mean, he looks good, but he's not a ball handler, and that's what they need.
I bet you weren't feeling him. I bet you wanted Brad Wanamaker back in the mix.
Somebody in the comments says start Teague over Marcus.
We talked about that prior to the season. I think that makes a lot of sense.
I do too, because he's not gonna shoot you out of a game. And Marcus Smart is still very, very valuable coming off the bench. It's not trying to diminish Marcus Smart's value by any means, but maybe Marcus Smart leading that second unit is exactly what you need. It's a very weak second unit. You need a leader. You need a guy to set the tone and come in with a couple young guys and sort of run the show out there. So I don't hate that. Jeff Teague can't do that, but he might be a better facilitator for the Tatum and Jaylen Brown show in that first unit. And maybe Marcus Smart makes a nice transition coming in with the bench guys. And he's still going to get 30-plus minutes a game.
Yeah. I give the starting lineup that they're running now a chance. Now, not necessarily Green, but again, like, where else are you going to look there on the bench for something that they need right now? And what they need is facilitation. Teague's the guy you look at there. The turnovers are low through these first two games. I believe he only had one tonight, so that's good. That was my biggest concern with him, was his high turnover rate from last season. And he looks spry. That Philadelphia game especially, like, he was getting into the lane. He was making a nice floater there, efficient again tonight in this one, I thought. So what are you going to do? Like, I don't think you're mixing up lineups like crazy to start this year, although you're going to have to experiment. But, yeah, you're right. Like, I just don't know what's going on with Smart ball handling-wise right now. I didn't expect it to look this sloppy, especially from him, a guy who had such an outstanding playoff stretch. It's only been a month and a half. So, like, what are you coming back looking so rusty, so out of sorts for? Like, I guess I would understand it from a Javonte Green who had knee surgery and didn't really play in the bubble. But Smart's like, you know, he just stopped playing and now he's picking up the ball again. And it looks like it's been 9 months, like the Cavaliers or something.
Yeah, it's not looking good, Bobby. That's true.
Again, that'd be the hair. Right. I guess that's the thing where it's two games, so it's going to be hard to figure out. I just think the ugliness that you're seeing with the second unit can't fix itself. After a pretty good game the first time through, Pritchard, I didn't even notice him out there. I forgot he existed.
Neesmith, he got thrown into some bad switches against Durant, and it was game over.
Not good. Neesmith,
Kyrie too.
When he wasn't getting kicked in the ding ding, you know, like he just looked out of sorts. He got blown past a couple times. He also got Durant on a switch on a little hesitation move there, and he went
right behind. Durant looked so good tonight.
That was gross too. We didn't really talk about our boy though, and I don't even know what to do with him. All right, I'm gonna play the video while we're up here. I don't even know what to do with this. Here's what I'm gonna say about Kyrie. He's boring, okay? Like, this stuff is – this nonsense here. And then we're going to put it up on the screen. There it is in the upper window.
Oh, wow.
Whatever he's doing in the Sage situation. Huh? Yeah, I'm bringing it up there. It's freaking boring. Okay? Whatever he's doing. He's out there on the court. He's burning freaking Sage. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah. I'm with you, John.
Listen.
I'm not entertained.
The thing about Kyrie, this is so like on brand for Kyrie. This is like exactly the type of shit that he would do before a game, to draw some attention to himself, but then not want to talk. I don't know if he's answered a question about it after the game, but it's exactly the type of shit that he does to make himself part of the story and then act like he doesn't want to be part of the story. And I'll tell you what, burning Sage, trying to like get rid of the bad vibes and all that stuff. Listen, if you're a guy who needs used to burn sage like everywhere you go, the chances are you're the bad vibe guy. Like, the chances are you're the one bringing the bad vibes. If you feel you need to, like, make this place, like, a better vibe, like, you're probably bringing the negative energy, buddy. And Kyrie just seems like that type of guy that he needs to do that at a lot of places that he goes. So not surprised to see it. That being said, Banana Land move, I've never seen anything like that in my life. I've never seen that in my life. I've just never seen it. Maybe.
This is where it gets a little bit uncomfortable for me with him, because, like, he toes the line when it comes to,
Charles,
like,
Barkley said it best, but go on, Bobby.
I didn't like what he said. Like, the shut up and
dribble. I liked what he said. He didn't say shut up and dribble.
Look, he didn't say that, though.
Yeah, that's different.
I thought he essentially did at the end.
What he said was, have a cause and you have a thing to say for social justice or movement, say it. The rest of this stuff is just friggin' baloney that you just say to act like you're smarter than people. You're not. You're just a guy. But he's basically saying the thing that makes you special is the fact that you do this. You're not on a different plane of, like, philosophical thinking, is what he said. And you're right. It does toe the line, because it is eerily reminiscent of the shut up and dribble shit that people were saying when they just wanted LeBron James, who was clearly.
But what was that about? That was about something else, John. That was about when LeBron James was speaking out. Exactly. Yeah, right. He was speaking out about politics and things like that, and people didn't like that. What Kyrie's
doing is different.
What Kyrie's doing is, you know, putting himself on a pedestal, belittling others, you know, just being a
I think he's
and calling himself an quote unquote artist
and pawns.
Like, and what Charles Barkley said, like, listen, man, shut up and play basketball. Like, that doesn't mean, like, don't speak your mind on, like, social justice. It just means, like, stop coming off as, like, this, like, holier than thou human being. Like,
and that's
we're
where
just
I'm
trying
with
to
you
talk
guys.
Basketball here.
I'm with you guys on he warrants criticism, and that's what drove me crazy about the media thing. Like, it's not that you don't want to talk to the media. Like, I don't care about that aspect of it. It's the thinking that he's above criticism, whereas other teammates and other people in the room have to go out and answer questions after games about bad plays and what's going on in the room and everything else. This looked strange to me at first, but once I heard the whole story that he actually did this before the Brooklyn game at home in his first preseason game, and this does make sense when it comes to his Native American heritage and what he's been ramping up on that side of things. Like, I'm just not in this mode where I'm going to criticize Kyrie for every single thing he does. And the outrage online was just, like, through the roof. Like, why is he burning sage in a building? They should throw him out the door. Like, this makes sense to me. Like, not everything Kyrie does forevermore is bad because he loves it.
Nobody's angry.
There's lots of people in the world who have a lot of traditions in their lives and different things. And when I show up to work, I don't do those things. Like, he's never done it before. He doesn't do it all the time. Why now? What changed? What are you doing? What are we doing?
Like, well, I think this is fairly recent.
There's lots of stuff I like to do. I just don't do it everywhere, you know? Like,
right, like, this is a Wendy's. Like, can you just order and, like, keep it moving?
This is a fairly recent discovery from too. So, I just think there's some room for nuance here. Like, we've gone.
What
so
do you do that with a bunch of friggin', like, 8-year-olds in the front row there, like, coughing and wheezing?
It's a fair point, but there wasn't. And that's
like, you can do this because you're in an empty building and it's a look at me sort of thing. But it's not like this thing that's going to be so important to him that he's going to, like, insist I have to do this religious freedom.
He might do this every night. It might be the new LeBron powder clap before the game and the empty building.
I was just going to compare it somewhat to LeBron's thing. But LeBron's thing, like, it's at least somewhat practically puts the powder on his hands. He uses it for the game. Like, Kyrie Irving is bringing in some, like, whatever tradition you want to say, Native American or, you know, hocus pocus, whatever you want to call it, burning sage. Clearly, it's good for him. You know, maybe he does it before every game and we just notice it because, you know, the cameras are running because it was his return or whatever. But the point is, like, it's just he always wants to do something to make something about him, but then make you feel like an idiot for bringing it up or talking about it. So that's one of my pet peeves with him. And I thought what Charles Barkley said was completely fine. It was not out of bounds. It was not towing the line of anything. He's saying, hey, listen, man, like, stop acting like you're Mozart or you're Michelangelo. Like, you're a basketball player. That's not to say, like, you're less of a human being, but, like, you know, we're talking about basketball in most cases here. Like, you don't, this isn't a blank canvas and you're painting the court, like, with a paintbrush. Like, you're playing basketball. You're an athlete. That's great that you are. You're one of the best in all of the world. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But, like, let's talk basketball.
Barkley said, we're not teachers. You dribble a basketball. Stop acting like you're the smartest person in the world. Felt a little belittled.
That's how he comes off. That's how he comes off, though.
You don't think he comes off as he's belittling people? Have you ever called someone a pawn before?
Have you referred to anything you do in your life art? Anything. Hey, whatever you're good at.
I have my liberal arts degree. That's it.
This isn't jokingly, belittling probably. His talent. He's friggin' incredible at what he does. But, like, how pretentious do you have to be to refer to anything in the world that you do as your art, you know, as if it's not actually art? You're playing a game. It's fun and you're good at it. That's great. Art, pawns, sage. Like, what are we doing? What level of lunacy have we ascended to?
There's a similar level of lunacy.
Where do you draw the line?
There's a similar level of lunacy to think that sage was going to burn down TD Garden, though, the way people were talking about
it. You're in the right mind, actually. Nobody actually was upset about it. I mean, I'm Italian. Am I going to have...
That's a violation.
Call the fire marshal.
I'm gonna have the Feast of St. Anthony come rolling through the TD Garden because I'm an Italian. I'm Marco Bellinelli. What is this? You know what I mean? Like John said, like, you show up and you go to work. Like, we're trying to play a basketball game here, man. Like, it's not that serious.
That's where I think it borders.
If I'm Jason Tatum, if I was that kind of leader, and hopefully he is, or maybe he'll bring this up at least to a few of his teammates. But, like, hey, he did that before the game. He went off on us. So did Kevin Durant. Let's make sure that doesn't happen.
Hugged them. They were all hugging them before the game.
If I'm Jason Tatum, I'm going to tell my teammates that because everyone else is going to be like, I don't think they're the kind of teammates that are going to look at Jason Tatum and be like, why do you talk to that guy? I don't think that's the case, but I think it's obviously a level of respect. But if I'm Tatum, I'm turning around and saying, hey, I respect this guy. But at the same time, we need to, next time he comes here, we need to show him how good we really are. All right. This is preseason. Next time, We'll see what kind of team he'll see here at TD Garden. Like, you have to use it as motivation. I don't think what he did was disrespectful, but it's just like, I think John said, it's just boring. Like, I'm not entertained right now. Nor do I think this motivates his teammates. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is Kyrie trying to be the leader that he thinks everyone else wants him to be.
It's not disrespectful. It's just as simple as you come off as a douche, like, way more than you should, man. And it's like, it's really not more serious than that. Like, if you just feel like, just, you know, be normal, I guess. If there's such thing as being normal, but, like, just come off less, like, entitled and, like, high and mighty, and, like, people might actually, like, not try to look to criticize you so much.
I think you can criticize him for some things, and I think this moment and the Barkley moment went a little bit over the top to where this guy can just be blasted for anything and everything he does at this point, especially for, like, you know, from our perspectives. It's going to be easy. It's always going to be easy forevermore.
I know, but that's the thing is, you're not telling a guy to be quiet and keep your opinions to themselves. You're just, Barkley was just saying, don't be such a douche. That's all he was saying.
That's, you know? And honestly, that's a good life lesson in anything in life. Anybody, like, watching, like, don't seriously be such a douche.
Get over yourself. That's all he was saying. Hold
weight, because Charles has spoken out about a lot of political stuff. You know, obviously he's not one to tell an athlete that you can't speak up politically about things. I just think obviously Kyrie's approach is a little different than we're accustomed to seeing, you know, athletes in the past address political issues.
Well, it's a different kind of statement, too. I mean, people like this one really rings differently to me, too. And it is a recent development with him, the whole Native American heritage thing. This isn't something you hear about as much.
He did the F Thanksgiving thing before.
That was 2 years ago. That's not that long ago.
Two. Anyway.
And
We got the Kyrie Irving PR team on the call with us.
No, man. I'm just I've never been since day one in his league, I've said this guy's overrated. So I'm not the biggest Kyrie Irving fan in the world. I just think sometimes we go to the extreme with this criticism of him. On the court tonight, he made a statement in its own right. Like, he's back, he's fresh, he's healthy, and he meshed.
Yeah.
There goes Jimmy.
We spent all this time talking about Kyrie before the game, but, like, if we put all that nonsense aside and, like, he had a great game and we were just talking about how good the Nets look. Well, it's because Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant look like they haven't really missed a step, right? I mean, and that's what we said, like, the Nets are obviously going to beat a very, really, really hard team to beat. if those two guys are playing up to their capabilities. And yes, it's only two preseason games, but I mean, if they can stay healthy, I don't know how the
Celtics. Are you guys in on one or two seed now?
Well, so what I will absolutely eat my words on was the Durant. Skepticism that Durant coming off an Achilles is automatically going to look like old Kevin Durant. I don't know in terms of explosive athleticism, but every other part of his game looked exactly like Kevin Durant. Like he just shoots up and over people, his quick release. He's just so comfortable and aware of where he is at all times, you know? And you know what gets to me? Not gets to me, but this is where it's always going to, you see a game like this and you watch Jason Tatum and you watch Kevin Durant and you see the gulf between them. Okay. In terms of their games, it's pretty substantial. And again, not to keep referencing ESPN's top 100, but if Durant is like a 9, 10, 8, 7, 8, 9 player and Tatum is 11, that looks like a much bigger gulf between those two, where Tatum looks like a guy who can score and not anywhere near the level of like a Durant type of player.
The last time he was on the court, he was 1 to me, 1 or 2. So we'll see how far he falls off from that.
And that's the thing is, again, it's not fair. Where we're going to get stuck here is this whole Jason Tatum, he's still developing. Absolutely. But if Jason Tatum doesn't become close to Kevin Durant, the Celtics are going nowhere. Like, he doesn't have to be Kevin Durant or peak Kevin Durant. He has to be a top 5 or 6 player in the league for the Celtics to have a chance with this group of people.
I Durant's game tonight, and what surprised me most, because I expected him to come back with some fire offensively. Defensively tonight, the double block on Tyson's side, rotating in the middle and just shutting down the paint the way he did. He got blew by a few times on the perimeter, but they were kind of playing a pseudo zone in that third. Defensively, he's already ahead of where I expected too. So, like, this is a massive development. If he is right, I don't even think the Bucks can touch them.
Yeah, it's legit.
I mean, it's unfair though, John, to compare the two. Obviously, I mean, Durant's 32.
10 years
now,
apart. You said.
I mean, why is it unfair? 10 years.
Because they're at different stages in their careers.
It doesn't matter.
That's fair.
It absolutely does matter because you're comparing Jason Tatum at this point in his career to Kevin Durant at his point in his career. And you're skipping the part that Durant's been in the league 10 years longer, including prime years of his career.
I think what you can do, though, is go back to Durant's 2012. Look at what he did there.
Durant was a star.
I guess if you want to just compare numbers, but I mean, every situation is different. I mean, Durant's playing with Westbrook and Harden. Then he goes over and wins a championship. He's playing with amazing players in Golden State. I mean, this guy's had a lot of great teammates over his career.
Yeah, so was Tatum.
Sure, but he's had those great teammates at age 19 and 20.
I'm just saying eye test only, okay? That's all.
Sure, and I agree. He's nowhere near where Durant – he hasn't touched where Durant's peak was, right?
But he's got to get there. He's got to get – if he doesn't get there, he's got to get – he has to get somewhere close for the Celtics to – like I said, Jason Tatum has to be a top 5, 6, 7 player in the league for the Celtics team to be a contender.
And that's –
I agree,
that's
but Durant – Durant's like a 5, 6, 7 all. He might go down as a 5, 6, 7 all.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very tough comparison. But when you look at his size, his ability to shoot from a bunch of different places.
They are similar. Absolutely.
His defense, his profile, that he's a score first, shoot first guy, a lot of pull-ups. That's who he's trying to be when he grows up.
I agree with John on the point that there's a gulf between them, and that's not bold at all. Like, there's definitely a massive jump between what Tatum needs to do to get to that point. And people talk about that. I mean, we have Goodman on the network all the time, putting him in the Hall of Fame and saying he's definitively top 10 and all those other things. I've been a little more back on him because there's certain aspects of his game that if John, as he wants to see him become the number one player on this team and be able to lead them to a top 2, 3 seed in this conference, he needs to be able to get on the ball, be the ball lead ball handler every single play and control this offense. And what you see these last two nights is he's nowhere close. He can jump on and off the ball, string together some great possessions, and the playoffs was a bold statement in that regard, that he's getting closer to that point. But still, like, even if he just starts to do that a little more this year, that'll be a success for him. And it's nowhere close to him being this ball dominant LeBron James, Kevin Durant player. Like, he can have a very successful year without getting to that point. And like the Kevin Durant, LeBron James point is just so far away in that regard that I think it's almost unrealistic to think he can approach that this year, especially without the relief around him. Now, he might go through a trial by fire, have some really big lulls early this year and come out better on the other side for it. But the way I look at it, these first two games, it's going to be like Smart on the ball, Brown on the ball a little bit. Like the way the system runs, it's never going to be Tatum on there all the time. And that's what it needs to be.
Yeah, I think Brad Stevens, though, he can tweak the system enough for – I mean, we've seen him do that before, right? But I think where you get the extra points is continuing to see Tatum attack the rim, get to the free throw line. I mean, he had –
they did not do that at all.
That's how Durant became such a big scorer. I mean, obviously, he progressed into a superstar, but before making that gigantic leap or the last leap he made in his career, it was getting to the free throw line. And I think Tatum's going to make that leap. I think that's realistic this year because he has to. There's no Kemba Walker. Jaylen Brown's going to have to figure things out. You know, I think he will, but I don't know exactly to what extent. I don't know if the Celtics can get to the NBA Finals or Eastern Conference Finals for that matter with Jaylen as your bona fide number two. But then there's a big question mark looming over Kemba Walker. So I think that's why, you know, that's why John's talking about Tatum taking that leap and the Celtics need him to, because one, he has the resources to. It's not like there's someone out there grabbing his shots. I mean, the shots are there for him to take. It's really up to him and Brad Stevens to sort of figure this thing out, or Tatum can be aggressive enough to take over when he feels like it. I think he did try to do that at some points throughout this game, but he's just figuring it out. And I do think that that's possible. He could be a top five guy. He could make another stride. Bobby, if we asked you this question a year ago, I don't think you would have called this crazy because you didn't see what he did before the All-Star break last season.
I always saw secondary passing for him. I never saw primary passing.
I never thought he would be in the top 10 conversation at the end of last season, but that's what happened. People had that conversation during the offseason, but it was brought up before the year finished because that was the leap he made. So I think there's another leap there. I just think the whole Jaylen thing is a big part of this whole equation. You know, where does Jaylen fit? Is Jaylen going to take that mantle? Because he has to. I think if he doesn't, I think Marcus Smart will do it for him. I think he's that kind of guy. He's that kind of competitor. And it's not more of an ego thing. It's more of a, hey, if you're not going to do it, I will. I'm not afraid to.
Not to change the subject, but John, I just saw in the comments somebody said, you guys never criticize Danny Ainge, this roster. Can you imagine saying that? I mean, welcome to the first show, I guess.
No, that was changing the subject. Wow.
I guess you've never watched an episode of this if you say that we've never criticized Danny Ainge. And we spent the last month and a half.
Please refer to the 2 weeks after Gordon Hayward left. I believe we had about three shows fighting furiously about Danny Ainge.
Now, it's true. Bobby's never criticized Danny Ainge. That's actually true. But people on this show have. Now, it's too early to criticize yet fully about this roster because we haven't actually had a regular season game yet. But trust me, if criticizing is warranted, it will occur on this show. Because
this roster
nobody's
in large,
safe.
This roster
nobody's
in large
safe unless
parts.
You earned the right to be safe.
I'm glad you bring this up, Jimmy, because this is a good point out of tonight too. John opened it up saying that there were no positives tonight, and such a big reason for that is it feels like there's so many empty projects on the team at this point, down on the bottom tier of the roster. Like you talk about Semi Ojeleye and Carson Edwards and all those missed picks.
4A players.
I'm worried about.
This roster is an amalgamation of missed picks that have just piled up and piled up and piled up.
Wow. Bobby said
that word.
I thought Neesmith was going to save the day, Bobby. I thought Neesmith was the 3-and-D.
Now, what? those are the last guys you should be looking at and criticizing on that. Like tonight, you know, 2 weeks into their NBA career.
I'm just looking at what that end of the bench looked like last year. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about Pritchard and Neesmith.
No, and like they've shown some sides.
I didn't know what I saw.
If we're being serious about the assessment so far against a Philadelphia and against a Brooklyn, who I think you're going to look back on when the season ends and say that was one of the best teams in the league, they're getting some sturdy competition out of the gate right now. And you go against a Philadelphia and get pretty good performances from those two rookies. I think you come out of the preseason feeling all right about them. Like,
yeah, but Bobby, they're waiting for when the season starts, man. That's the thing. Like, if you're the Celtics, you're thinking about it like, man, the Bucks, the Nets. You know, the Nets again.
Fair point.
These teams have caught up, you know, so it's going to be tough. That record it's not going to look great. I don't know if it's 500, you know, mid-January. I don't know.
That schedule out of the gate is ferocious this year. And these recent seasons have been dictated by the starts. I saw Ryan Bernadoni tweet about that after the game tonight. They're starting off against the Bucks, Nets, Pacers twice, Grizzlies, Pistons twice, Raptors, Wizards.
What's that, 2-7 at the gate? I mean, come on, listen, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm serious. Like, that's a tough schedule. And not to mention, in February, the West Coast trip. Have you seen that trip? How many cities are going to cover in a two-week span? Is Kemba Walker going to be on that trip? And what kind of condition is he going to be? Because this is early February we're talking about, where we're realistically, or at least the Celtics are praying, February will be the actual, you know, we'll see him in uniform as opposed to another update next month.
Well, what I say, and I said this for a few weeks now, is get prepared for those struggles and don't overreact to them and just wait for this roster to get healthy. It's tough to overcome a brutal start, which is in the cards, I guess, seeing how they've looked these first 2 days. But if they get by, if they're 500, if they just scrap away at this and just manage, there's light at the end of the tunnel there in Kemba and Tristan Thompson, who – again, substantial part of this team for me. He's going to start eventually, I think. He's going to really change the dynamic of that center position. And who knows? Maybe Romeo Langford charges out of that surgery.
No, stop it. We're not talking sideshow yet. No,
that's the saddest thing. The wing depth here is so bad.
So go ahead, Jimmy.
I want to finish one thing on the schedule because I hate looking too far ahead in the schedules. But one thing we haven't even mentioned, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're pretty much every other day, right, for games?
Yeah.
But when is their practice time?
So the first half of the season, it's more like a two-game series, like baseball style, where they stay in the same city and play a team twice. There's a lot of those in the first half, and the second half is more traveling where the cities are closer to each other, but it's like, you know, two games in 5 days or two and four, and then they travel.
So the whole first half of the season is you're going pretty much every other day, maybe a back to back mixed in there. It looked like
back to back or times.
You don't have 2-3 days off in a row where you can like work on things and like get your, you know, guys back on the same page. Like it's kind of just like shotgun start here and like hold your breath and hope that these pieces kind of fall into place. And it's hard when you're two best players are, you know, 22, 23 years old, as opposed to like the Nets. We'll use them as an example because we just played them. Their two best players are, you know, long-term vets, all-star, perennial all-stars, Hall of Fame players, you know? So it's like, I think it's a lot easier for guys to sort of fall in line behind those two types of players. And you've got another veteran like DeAndre Jordan. These guys know what it takes to win. And I think guys can sort of fall in line behind them. Whereas like on the Celtics, you've got Kemba Walker kind of watching from the sidelines. You lost Gordon Hayward. You're kind of leaning on Marcus Smart and kind of some of the young guys to lead the way here. And I don't know if that's another, you know, uphill battle for this team.
The ramp up's going to be substantial. And Stevens has said it. He's kind of
mind.
he has mellowed those expectations for the first 2 months. So if you listen to the coach, they're not quite ready to go.
Let him in.
This is the kind of result you end up with here when you're, you know, not quite approaching that full scale mark. So I'd be interested. I'm actually probably going to ask Brad next time we're on a presser, like, when do you expect to hit full speed? Is it a month? Is it a month and a half? Is it 2 months? Because they are so early in this process. Like tonight looked like they just stepped on the court and it was day one of training camp. And they rolled the balls out there and did the best they could. That was the kind of game they had tonight. Yeah. And, you know, when you're injured as they are, when you're as young as they are, what do? Do you look toward Danny Ainge? Do you look toward the training staff? I don't, like, it's just, they're in a bad spot right now, roster wise. And it's a lot of the stuff we talked about over the offseason. It's some bad luck, well, in Tristan Thompson's case. So it's going to be tough here. Now, it is preseason. How many guys just actually start throttling when we get into these early games? I guess we're going to actually have to see a real game first to kind of judge this team for real. But the early returns aren't great.
Nope.
Garden Report is brought to you by Legends. Looking for a great holiday gift for your husband, boyfriend, son? Looking for new brands? Well, try the Legends brand, one of the best brands out there for men's athletic apparel, based in Los Angeles. The products are high quality, all the performance features that you would expect as an athlete, a style and comfort that makes for all day wear. You've got the Hawthorne Tech hoodies for joggers, perfect fit, won't break the bank. A lot of top athletic brands charging $100 or more for hoodies and sweats. Legends hoodies and joggers are $75. Okay, so once again, Legends brand. Go to legendsbrand.com/Horford. Use the code Horford20. Once again, legendsbrand.com/Horford. Use the promo code Horford20 to get 20% off on your next purchase. Do it today. Once again, legendsbrand.com/Horford. Promo code Horford20 for 20% off your next purchase.
John, we're John some other news.
Speechless. John is speechless. He's sullen. He's downtrodden. He's just he can't believe that he has to cover this.
Are people going to watch this show?
We didn't even get to do the fun thing and make fun of Kyrie. You know, like it was such a non-factor. Like, sure, he did his weird stuff, but that's basically it. You know, like
go down by 32, makes it tougher to boo the other.
They went
guys.
Down from the start. Exactly. I mean, when you get punked like that, I mean, I'm telling you what, if they lose like this on Christmas, I won't be doing the show because I'm going to be very heavily drinking eggnog and other.
Oh, eggnog's so good. Mm.
So and they better show up on Christmas. You don't want to be embarrassed on Christmas Day with everybody in America watching. You know, I mean, you got to hope that it's a week from now. I mean, you don't have a whole lot of time to you know, get things going, but you just got to hope you get some pride on the line once the regular season starts here, and they can because you know Durant and Kyrie are going to be, you know, they're ready to go.
They're ready to go, and they're gonna destroy a lot more teams than Boston. So if you hold on to anything, then the Boston's not going to be the only team that they're up by 30 against this year. That team looks phenomenal, and yeah, you know, yeah. I don't know which direction you want to take this, John, but they probably don't need James Harden, I guess. Like, looking at how they look
right
now.
They don't need James Harden.
That's the whole thing. They'd be better now than they would be with James Harden.
It's not only not needing James Harden. It's, I don't think anybody wants James Harden. I think, like, analysts are losing their minds. I think analysts are losing their minds. Like, how does nobody want James Harden? And, you know, like, nobody wants to give up anything real right now. Like, if you have a controllable, you know, star player like a Simmons, like, you don't want – I don't think Philly wants to do that. I think this is. I think all of it is Houston plants.
Well, when the GM and it's easy to do, the GM comes out for Philadelphia and says, "We're not doing this." Let's see how they start. I'm lower on that team than most people. If they get off to a shaky start, all of a sudden that phone's going to be a lot more enticing to grab for them. The trick for Philadelphia, though, is that as we talk about some of the other suitors, they like Philadelphia probably doesn't have a strong feeling that they can keep him beyond 2 years. And you kind of need that to make a deal like that, especially when you have a Ben Simmons wrapped up for 5 years. So they're going to see what they have there. And you were right, John. Like, it just kind of was a call out to the wild saying, we have suitors here. Is anyone going to step up to the plate and, you know, cross the fence? And no one's biting. Like, between the fat thing that we talked about last week, the return, the contract, just the whole way he's handled this, it has definitely sunk his value, which, you know, probably didn't work out the way he wanted it to either.
Well, they need to trade Harden, before he eats himself out of the league. And I think he's becoming dangerously close based on the pictures that started to surface. So, listen, if Philly starts off abysmal, like what if Philly starts off we're talking about the Celtics struggling. What if Philly starts off 2-7 or
it's
something?
It's going to get tempting. That's
what Houston is going to have to bank on. A team struggling out of the gates, you know, a little fear strikes the front office and says, you know what, this guy James Harden's available. We can pull the trigger on it right now and, you know, put a little shock into this season and maybe, you know, get something going here. I mean, that's kind of, I think, what Houston has to hope happens to a team like Philadelphia, you know, because I can totally see that happening if Philadelphia stumbles out of the gates. And you know how it is in Philly. Everyone's going to the rumblings are going to start and the fans are going to get restless. And all of a sudden everyone's going to be demanding James Harden, you know, and see you later Simmons or whatever, even might not be the right move, but it might be something that they feel like they have to do. Either way, I'll tell you what, the rumors already circulating around Philly. Oh, I can't hear Joe Sway. Can you guys?
I got him.
All right. I'll dip out. I can't hear.
So Go ahead, Josue. We heard you.
No, I just don't get how Toronto just at least, I mean, pick up the phone. I mean, I guess I'm weighing too much of playoff performance I saw from Pascal Siakam. Maybe that's what it is. And obviously that's unfair. You know, he went into that playoffs in a completely different role compared to playing alongside someone like Kawhi Leonard. So maybe that's unfair. But I mean, the whole like seeing him put together the season that he put together and then selling that right now before he shows you that maybe he can't do that again, like jump on this or maybe pair him.
Well, that's why we're at a stalemate here.
Different directions you can go with this. I mean, Toronto has options. You know, you could send, you know, OG, you know, or you could pair Lowry. I mean, this just, I think they have the pieces to in the end get it done. It's just one of those things where like maybe they're the team that applies pressure for a team like Philly to jump in.
That's why we're at a stalemate.
That's probably what might happen with a team like Toronto.
If no one's offering their premium asset now, and that's what Pascal Siakam still is for them, why would anybody? Like, you know, we'll get creative.
Everyone's trying to get it on the cheap.
We'll pull in a third team. You know, we'll give you OG or one of our lesser guys here. We'll give you, Fred VanVleet's contract. But Pascal Siakam's off the table. And that's another team. We know how Toronto is. Like, the media will sit here and say, oh, they're probably going to dip off this year. But they believe very much that the team they have this year is going to be competitive in the East and as good as anyone. They lost a few pieces, but the core is still intact. So they're in no rush to do this either. Like, you know, John, are we at a spot where a Charlotte or a Sacramento or like a team like that's just going to come out and be like, all right, let's do it. No one else wants them.
Exactly.
No, oh,
man. I don't know.
That's where we're at.
And you know what? The Harden thing. I watched the post game interview, or it was the interview with the media.
I'm still waiting for Kyrie's comments. Has he talked yet?
I was looking for that too. I haven't seen anything.
The blackout is resumed.
Is he not talking?
No, I don't know. Right? I don't know.
No, he's gonna talk. He's a Boston kid.
That's my thing. If he doesn't talk about it, then it's like, all right, what are you doing? Like,
why are you guys making a big deal out of it? It's gonna be a media problem, you realize.
Hey, I wanna read. All right, yeah, we're talking Harden, so I'll stick to Harden. But the thing I noticed about Harden was, so the media asked Harden all about why didn't you show up to camp on time? Why were you in, you know, Vegas or wherever he was? And
Tim McMahon killed him.
You know. Do you think it's a distraction? This, that, the other thing. It's like, this is not going to go away. It never has ever ended well for anybody involved when this becomes like the talking point of your team. I mean, the season is just underway and this is what you're dealing with. It's really not fair to his teammates, especially. So
it feels like he could end up stuck there for the season and the way it's going, because they have to.
I think it's very possible.
What John said.
And you know what? They like, once they finally reel him in, and like I said, he can shed all that fat pretty quickly. We've seen it before with him. Things can end up all right there. Once like the noise ends and the deadline passes and some of the other pieces fit in the place there, their team's not too bad. I respect the coach there, what he's done in Dallas. So like, this could eventually simmer down, but these first few weeks are going to be tough, Jimmy. You're right. And again, how you start's important.
You hear about that culture that was going on in Houston?
Hey, well, they made the West Finals with it a couple of times.
Yo, if that's all facts, if there's no exaggerating in that, man, like how could someone even? But that's what scares me. Is like, if that's the future of the NBA, like a player can have that much control over an organization. Man, that's scary, guys.
The weeks that have passed there have been so perplexing and out of control, and just the biggest.
You know what I'm talking about, right? The report saying that he would control when if he wanted to stay in a city an extra day, if the team needed to stay, or he wanted
that's
to
crazy.
Party in the city that night, they would stay an extra night, and if the travel schedule went around his, you know, comfort level or whatever, like that's incredible. And there's no way you can say that, Bobby, because someone like John Wall or whoever, any other newcomer, are going to be like, this is ridiculous. How do you buy into something like that so quickly, too?
Well, it's not stunning from the guy who reportedly pushed for that Russell Westbrook trade, and that was no minor move, especially for a guy who was only a couple of years from free agency. I mean, they mortgaged the future on Russell Westbrook just to dump a good player in Chris Paul. It's going to go down as one of the worst trades ever.
Terrible.
It was a poor, poor point for that franchise. God. Oh, it's not fun to be. I have a good friend who's a Rockets fan, and I have felt bad for him these last.
Why would you feel bad for them? What are they? What have they done to deserve your sympathy?
Oh, it's just a brutal situation. It's as bad as
yeah. Screw them.
Who cares? Maybe for blowing a 3-1 lead, but that's about it.
Who cares? I got Kyrie Sage coming in a minute, guys. I comment on it.
Oh, all right,
I'll put it up. Bobby, throw up the lower third on Kyrie Sage.
No, I didn't get any reaction from my idea. No, come on, blame Which it on one? The sage. Blame it on the sage for a thumbnail.
Blame it on the sage. Yes, I love that.
You should take that to Nick Joso.
I'm playing this right now. Ready? Here we go. Here's our guy.
Before the game, the abalone shell it looked like in the sage, mm-hmm. is that a Standing Rock tradition or is there something else to that for you? Is my first question.
It just comes from a lot of native tribes being able to sage, just cleanse the energy, make sure that we're all balanced. And when we come into this job and we come to this place, it's not anything that I don't do at home that I did today. You know, I saged last game and I plan to sage.
I saged last game
if the opposing team would allow me to. But literally, it's just more or less for us to stay connected and for us to feel great about going to work and feeling safe and provided from our ancestors. I'm not going to bring too much of spirituality into basketball, but it's part of my native culture and where I'm from.
And then secondly, with new energy and cleansed, how was it being back in Boston and playing there for the first time since you left?
It's like going another day at the job, honestly. You know, I'm grateful to be able to have relationships with a lot of these guys still here, guys that aren't here still. And, you know, at the end of the day, we went to war together, you know, and I respect all those young men down there.
Went to war together.
You bowed down. Growing in a business where we want to do what makes us happy. And, you know, to see Jason get better, to see Jalen get better, to see these guys mature and be in the positions that they're in, I'm nothing but proud of them. To see other guys be happy, you know, that's all I could want. So coming here is easy, man. Performing here is easy, Malika. Performing here is easy. Basketball is the easy part. It's just the external stuff beforehand that gets a little
All right, enough. So, look.
Oh, my God.
Here's the problem. God. Look.
Who went to war?
But just to be fair, it's really difficult to criticize somebody for doing anything that has to do with their background or their heritage. So
that's my point.
That's a tough thing to just sit there and say it. It all falls into flaky Kyrie doing stuff which draws attention to him. And then it comes down to whether or not you think it's genuine or not, you know? And that's where the debate lies. It's just hard for people to pass judgment because you don't know. It's hard.
It's recent. It's a new development.
It puts you in a box. Yeah.
The only thing I take exception to is him saying he went to a war with these guys and stuff. Like, you didn't go to war.
You can criticize him for that, and you can criticize him for that. All I said is like
sword down.
But I just it's the conversations about the external stuff and all of that. You know what I mean? It's
the external stuff that he created.
It's that's the whole thing. Is like. This he runs head first into this stuff and then says it's just the part of the game I don't want to deal with, and he invites it at every turn. Honestly, like everyone would be happy, myself included, and I'm sure 75% of the people in the chat, if Kyrie just stopped, like just played basketball, spoke up every once in a while, posted something on Twitter, did a little weird from here and there, but this. I got to get by, and the energy and this pit stuff around me and all of this stuff. It's just, and the bad vibes and tuning that out. Everything he says is like a subtweet of everything else around him. You know, like it's on all of these forces that are keeping him down or doing whatever when it's not even an issue, you know, like just, I don't know.
I agree to
you on day one of media day. That's the day you just, dude, none of these guys like talking to the media, mm-hmm. you know, it's not their favorite thing to do. That didn't get into the job for this. They show up, they smile for these dumb pictures with the white backgrounds. They spin basketballs. They dribble around. They do it because it's part of the show and they take pictures and people are there and you're friendly for a day. That's all you have to do. It's not hard. And then to make that issue on media day in the statement just draws senseless attention to them.
Right. That's the thing. None of us are saying shut up and play basketball.
Nobody cares.
We're not saying, we're not saying that at all. Like, I want you to be personable. I love players who are personable and fun to cover and fun to watch, and they like to, you know, whatever. They can cause drama or whatever they want to do, but like on the court is great. Like, I love that. But like, it's just when you're for lack of a better word, just a douchebag. Like, I don't care what job you are or who you are. Like, just don't be that, and like, we'll all get along fine. I mean,
this is how we'll find out what Kyrie is all about when the team is losing. Okay, that's what we'll find out.
Bingo, or any human being for that matter.
Right, but it's different with Kyrie though, right? We saw that turn in Kyrie. Well, I forget exactly what game, but because they came out of the game playing really well that season when he first started in Boston. But we saw that turn, and we saw the ups and downs, the mood swings. Let's see how that pans out first. Let's see when this team starts to struggle or when things are going his way, how he goes about it. Because then right now, things are great. You know, he's on a new team. He's healthy with his sidekick. You know, they're off to a great start. So everything is great. This is the Kyrie that we saw at the beginning of the Boston years. It's the same one.
Well, when you're as loaded as they are, it's easier for things to go well, too.
But that's the thing, though. But Josue's 100% right, Bobby. Like, he's been in front running. The Celtics should have been a front running situation, you know, here.
They didn't have Kevin Durant.
I mean, still, that team was hard to mess up, okay? Yeah. And he did. And so that what you said, Josue, I think holds for literally everybody in life. Like, it's easy to be a nice guy and to be generous when you're flush, you know, and, you know, buy drinks when you're friggin', you know, rolling in dough and blah, blah, blah. But how are you when you lost your job, when nothing's going your way? Like, are you helping people out? Are you still a good guy? Are you miserable, you know, all the time? Are you blaming other people for what's wrong with you? Like, Kyrie is at his absolute worst when shit breaks down. And we've seen it, you know, countless times. And he set fire. I mean, even last year in Brooklyn, those guys, he doesn't get Durant to come this year. Those guys would have been like, oh, man, we can't do this again with this guy, you know? And he wasn't even out there for half the season, you know?
Yeah. There's so much stuff floating around him. And you have a point there for a guy who doesn't want much attention on him or wants to avoid the spotlight. So he says, like, there's a million things revolving around him that you have to balance in these conversations. And my only point, I'm not stepping my foot into the Kyrie camp.
Yeah, people in the chat are right here. Kyrie stuff is tired. He forces us to talk about him, and then we do, and then we hate ourselves for doing it. So let's get back to the Celtics after Bobby wraps his point.
Well, yeah,
I want to say one more thing.
I think you can just go down the line. Little things like the same. You want to the heritage or whatever is behind that. Sure, people in the WNBA can just have a basketball context about his leadership, about his track record over the years. He's warranted a criticism as anybody else. And I still go back to the whole media thing with him. If you're going to put stuff out there, whether it's yourself or to people in the crowd with the microphones or however you're putting stuff out there, people are going to find a way to talk about it and find a way to criticize yourself. Like, it's criticism's never not going to be part of the job when you step into this. Like, it's just, it's going to be there when you want to be a star at this game and step into this media landscape and the whole project here. It's just part of what you sign up for. And for him to want to just step out of it and leave his teammates in there, it kind of does reflect the leadership style that he's taken up over the years. Like, you know, I'm above everything else and everybody else has to figure it out. So, like, you know, it's always a tough conversation with him because I think he is a good guy when it comes to his off the court. It's so much vitriol, and you see it here in the comments. You see it with how much we talk about him, and like, that does stem from somewhere.
Yeah. All right, Jim, if you want to put a bow on it, and again, I do agree with the commenters here. The Kyrie stuff is tired. I hate talking about it. Like I said, anyway, go ahead.
We're talking about him because the Celtics play the Nets. So everyone needs to just deal with it, and we're going to talk about him on Christmas, too. So that's it. We won't talk about him other than that. But I will say a couple points on Kyrie. One, for him to say basketball is the easy part, and, oh, we went to war when I was on the Celtics. Dude, if basketball is the easy part, then where the hell were you when you're on the Celtics? Because you shot like 3 for 20 in the playoffs. You didn't show up. You went out with an injury. You failed the organization. So don't sit there and say, oh, basketball is the easy part. It's the outside stuff that really bothers, you know, that really gets on me or whatever. It's like, dude, it's not that simple for you. Because if it was, the Celtics would have gone to the NBA Finals and maybe won a championship. Second of all, this may or may not be possible, but if Kyrie's saying, oh, like, the stage is brings good vibes to the team and, like, it makes us all feel good, if I'm an opposing team, I might, you know, maybe, like, the venue, maybe the arena sends out a notice, like, you know, no pyrotechnics, no smoke, nothing can be, you know, no stage if they want to say that.
Well,
nothing
can be happen.
Can be going off in the arena pregame, during the game, postgame. You know, if I'm an opposing team, I may be thinking about that, because why am I trying to let the opposing team have good vibes coming into you know, the arena? I'm not trying to do that. Exactly, Bobby. And then that's all in good, clean, you know, part of the game right there. That's not any getting in the way of anyone's religion or background or anything. That's just, hey, we're trying to beat you guys. You're trying to beat us. This is how it's going to have to happen.
I hate seeing him and Jason Tatum get buddy-buddy.
Me too. I didn't see anything with Jaylen Brown. I didn't see Jaylen Brown and Kyrie hugging.
No, I think they did.
I thought I saw them. I might be wrong, but they were the buddy-buddy before the game. It was like a bear hug between Tatum and Kyrie.
Oh, God.
The Dookies, John. You know,
yeah, that was tough.
You can't.
Danny Ainge even got in on the action.
Really?
I thought that was the biggest, like, back and forth I've ever seen in my life. Danny
did he give him
Kyrie
a plaque in the hallway?
Unbelievable. On the court, like, chatting it up on the court. I was like, Danny Ainge and Kyrie Irving, both of you are lining your teeth right now, so just go your separate ways.
All right, let's switch back to the Celtics here. We talked about the first unit. Here's Brad. I want to get to Brad talking about just how things have been going so far. Here's a little post-game snippet from him.
We'll know more on Wednesday, Mark. Like, you know, obviously we haven't played well in, you know, the majority of these two games. And certainly our first group has not played well, or the, you know, just generally the guys that are going to play the share of the minutes. So we're going to have to make sure we get a lot better and get ready for Wednesday. We've got a really good team, Milwaukee, coming in. And at the same time, these games are exhibition games for a reason. So we'll learn from.
Okay. First unit not playing. Well, we know that. Let's just move ahead to this is it. Two-game preseason. No Tristan Thompson, the jewel of your offseason.
So that one's interesting. He's kind of
Jimmy, I'm gonna do that every single time, right?
he's ramped things up big time in the last few days. So
I can't wait.
So he could be back some night.
Oh, he's maybe ramping up
late next week.
I hear he's dining with Chloe downtown. That's exciting.
Yeah, sure. she made it.
What are we to expect different? Okay, when they play Milwaukee
defense. That's where you got to start. Like, you got to be able to pile up some stops here. You know, use your system effectively, scheme it up, as we know the Celtics can. And the personnel is absolutely defensively. Like, you're starting a unit that is three big wings, Marcus Smart and Daniel Tice. You should be able to be your top 5-10 defensive self with that unit out there and get your transition game going off that. Like, all the offensive concerns we talked about tonight should not be an issue once you get your defense out there. Generally the same guys who played together last year, so it's not like you're setting anything up cohesion-wise out there on that end of the floor. Tonight was tough. Like, you were going against a load of a team offensively, so to get blown up the way they did offensively doesn't concern me too much. But Milwaukee and the teams that follow, you got to be better defensively than they were tonight.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned defensively. I mean, yeah, I know it's a preseason. I didn't like the way they looked on defense, but there were parts of the game where I'm like, okay, this team, I can see them being able to put it together to start the season. Offensively, again, I'm going to keep saying this for a while, guys. I just don't see how this team, especially against a team like the Milwaukee Bucks, I mean, the starting lineup, I don't know if we'll see the same. Maybe we could see Javonte back in there. Maybe put Grant in there. And I'm a Javonte guy. I just like Javonte for his athleticism.
Has Brad given it with
the second unit alongside someone like Jeff T, the only guy who can score for you off the bench. So you have to have him.
Has Grant given a reason why?
No, he's just a body, to use your phrase. I mean, I hate to say it. Maybe you'll get more out of him this way because he's giving you nothing in that second unit.
Here's my only thought.
You get more out of him, maybe.
Just in terms of trying to simulate what you had last year – Jalen now becomes Gordon and Javonte becomes Jalen, so to speak, you know, where, you know, you're going to ask Jalen to do more things with the ball in his hands and Javonte might just be the athlete transition, you know.
Yeah. And he fits.
I don't know, though. His dribble, it's...
It's not, but he fits the unit maybe better than someone like Semi or Grant where they just... Maybe not. Maybe it's still with Tristan out. He's just saving Grant for second unit, you know, big man.
Well, maybe,
you know?
Maybe Shemi. Well, the reason I say Grant is because of what he can do from the outside a bit, right? I think you get a lot of open looks there. And another person who got open looks tonight, and I thought someone who's starting to knock them down and showing more confidence year after year is my guy, Daniel Theis. You know, I know he wasn't great defensively. He was fouling everyone that was in front of him. But on offense – when he was found down low, he can hit that, you know, 12-footer that we know that he can hit. And I'm not saying give the guy ISOs, but I think you get a lot more open looks with those guys. And if he takes 9-10 shots as opposed to what he took, 4 or 5 today, I mean, you have to get points here and there. There has to be a well-balanced attack here. You know, I don't know if Jason Tatum having to score 30-plus every night is going to be the formula to win every single game, especially against a team like the Milwaukee Bucks. You need a more well-balanced attack. You need to spread it around a bit.
That's the thing. Would it shock you? It would not shock me at all if after watching these two games with the starters looking as bad as they've looked and the hopeless bench, if they came out and just friggin' lit it up from all over and
the starters?
It wouldn't stun me if they came out and just were like, okay, now we're going to play. Well, I mean, even in the bubble, Jalen said like, it was hard getting up for some of these, you know.
That's always
remember how poor they were in the preseason bubble games in the before they started. Yeah, and they were like, I can't pretend this is real, you know. Like, I don't know. I you wonder whether part of it's kind of like we're really
defensively, especially like you can chalk it up to that to some degree. Of course, the offensive issues I think represent problems that we foresaw with this team. So you take those a little bit more seriously. I like Joe Sway's point. You probably try everything over this next couple of weeks, mixing and matching lineups. And I think the one thing Grant actually could provide is some spacing in a way Javonte couldn't. Grant's actually shown to be a good three-point shooter. And I think you have to capitalize on guys who are getting lost a little bit in that bench unit. They went more full bench than you probably would in these regular season games, and Grant got a little bit lost. It doesn't feel like T got involved as he would be probably mixing in with the starters there.
The goal would be to start Neesmith, though, right?
I'm not kidding. Comments loaded.
No, I'm not kidding. Ultimately, that's where you want to get to, right?
Yeah, but that's like way down the road.
Yeah,
I know. That's what you want. That's what you want, right?
Yeah. I'd say so. You probably want to stay three wings out there.
You want three wings, and you want a guy who can score, you know?
Is Grant that backup center, I guess?
I mean, he's the only – when we're joking about maybe Romeo comes back, like, I don't know what kind of stock to put in Romeo, but you really want it to be Romeo or Neesmith in that starting lineup as a third wing.
The reason you drafted those guys is Hayward.
That's what you want. Right. That's what you want to have happen. Everything else sucks. It does. The Grant is a terrible option. Javonte is a terrible option.
Grant's not a terrible option.
Playing Tyson Tristan is a terrible option. You know, like together. That's what you want. I think you'd love to get it there. You just don't know whether those guys are going to be capable. But that's what you want.
That's going to be an X factor for the season. Who steps up in that wing group?
Has to be.
Could even Semi Ojeleye finally work out of woodwork here? No. Like, no, you gotta get something.
Jimmy's gotta go. We're going on too long. we're gonna do something again before right, we get to Wednesday. Quick final thoughts, Josue. Quick, anything else?
I have final thoughts too. I think to your point, what you said earlier about, you know, the that's a bad lineup or whatever. I think he's getting creative against these teams because he has to. You know, I don't think you're going to see the same formula or the same approach when they're not playing those top three teams that I have in mind: the Bucks, the Nets, and I'm putting the Heat in there, guys. Those are the three teams I think where it's going to get really, really difficult for the Celtics. I do still like their chances against the likes of most of the rest of the Eastern Conference. I don't think Brad's going to get that desperate. When you talked about those nights where you think like somehow maybe the season opener is when you'll see the Celtics come out and that starting five would just be on point and scoring at a high level. I think you'll see that more often against the other teams. I don't know. I think out of the gate, they're going to struggle against these elite teams because the continuity for those guys are on a whole different level, a whole different
not an elite team, yeah.
in comparison to the Celtics. Right now, the Celtics are just, I don't want to say they're in shambles, but just the chemistry is just way, way off.
That I don't agree with.
Nick Blue, this echoes my final thought if I were to share one. by game five of the regular season, we're going to be dying for Danny to use that trade.
John, exception. Yeah, you're going to
get some bumps. You got to wait.
Yeah.
John's
going to trade for Eric Gordon. All right, Jimmy, you got anything?
That's not a terrible.
Yeah, so before we got on the show, I tweeted everybody on my account and I said, what are your thoughts on the Celtics heading into the regular season? I got a few responses that I want to give you guys, and I'll end it with my favorite one. So I got one that said gross, one that said garbage, one that said couldn't possibly feel worse. I got a few other longer ones that was basically just summarized by like terrible. And my favorite one, from the scale of Bobby to John, I'm definitely leaning John. So that tells you right off the bat where a lot of these people are heading.
Yep, it goes Bobby, Josue, Jimmy, John.
But I want to be fair, okay?
That's fair.
I honestly, just defending myself here, believe I call it how I see it. In the playoffs, mm-hmm. I was saying – I can play the homer card too. When the playoffs, Jimmy and I were like, they're going to sweep Toronto. They're a bunch of bums, you know?
Oh, we went there. You're right.
If what I see looks a certain way, I'll say so. So in the playoffs, I thought they were going to hum past Toronto, no problem, you know?
They should have.
Be in a seven-game series. This just looks bad. It's hard to not. And I mean, like I said, the concerns heading into the season, not to be all doomsday, but I think it would be more foolish to think everything is fine than to be genuinely concerned. It doesn't mean it's not going to work out. It's just insane to have Kemba be hurt, absolutely no wing depth, Romeo late to the party, Tristan late to the party, and having lost Gordon Hayward and think like no big deal. Like, of course it's a big deal. It's crazy to think it's not.
Your two best ball handlers, yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah, you've lost a lot right now, right? The ball handling is exactly right.
Those
you know,
two very best ball handlers, Kemba Walker and Hayward.
Yeah,
people literally like the highlight of Celtics fans offseason for a lot of Celtics fans was literally Danny Ainge not trading for Turner. That was like the highlight. That was like Danny Ainge's best move for a lot of Celtics fans. So that's
leaving that Thompson again. My point all along.
Tristan is coming, Bobby.
And that's the point. You're not your full version of yourself yet. The key is going to be how you survive.
I'm dying to see him on the court, Bobby. I want to see another professional basketball player out there who isn't one of these friggin' who the hell was that in the second and the fourth.
And Kemba's not out for the season. We don't have to do that whole thing, but you got to get to that point. You got to get there comfortably or at least intact where you can, you know, still latch on to a playoff spot. Let's face it. If it gets down to that point where they're at the bottom of the conference and they're just trying to kind of stay in that playoff range, you just got to survive and get in and be there healthy at the end. And then, you know, there's not going to be fans in the crowd. It's probably not going to be a typical postseason. Who knows how the season's going to go with everything going around it. So you just got to survive, not get COVID, get healthy by the end of the year, and you're probably going to be in a decent spot.
Okay. That's the key.
That's all of us. Just that's literally all of us, Bob.
Hopefully the Celtics will have the fewest amount of guys with COVID, and that's going to be the key.
That could be a very substantial advantage.
Oh, that's the key to that two seed that Bobby's so certain they've got locked down. Yeah. Bobby, can we redo your power rankings tonight?
let's wait till Tuesday. I don't want to do that after
the way. By the way, Bobby, if they get out – if they come out the gate as slow as we're all predicting,
I'm a four.
If Tatum gets like COVID or something, don't be like, oh no, this season's a wash now. But no. Like even if they're on pace to be a fifth seed at best or fourth seed at best,
you can't use COVID as an excuse.
Yeah. Even if it wasn't Tatum, you'd probably say heist test.
Can't use a pandemic.
we'll do that when we get there, I assume.
Yeah. Tell you what, if the Celtics players needed to get COVID in that offseason window, if they didn't, then shame on them because Now,
well, we don't know. That's another thing here. Like they,
I'm kidding. Obviously, everybody. So,
what was it? 58 players got COVID. So there's a chance someone on the roster here got it, and
well, we know Marcus Smart did.
Well, yeah, I mean, coming in the training camp, 58 players in the league tested positive. So,
Okay.
Odds are one player on this roster came down with it, and that can have an effect. Like, we'll never know. Might be revealed later. Well, Taco was actually out tonight with an eye thing. So,
actually, yeah, I don't know.
Who the hell
think was it? Able was to ta- I don't think Taco's it could be Taco. Eye.
Yeah. How did anyone
get that? Right?
Thing is, like, Taco's like head is above everyone. Like, I don't think he could, like,
It might have been during that airborne, but it's not there.
It's true though. Like someone jumps up to block his shot, the highest they can get is his eye. You know, so they just kind of swipe at it. That was basically
what happened. That's a great question. More free throws. What happened? He walked into a tree. I don't know.
All right,
that's a good way to call
John,
it.
John, you got final word or what?
No, my final word was the. No, the final word, I already kind of said it. There's a ton of reason to be concerned, but I also want to see a whole team or closer to it. I honestly desperately want to see Tristan Thompson because it's a competitive basketball player who can do things for you that you're lacking. It's not going to solve a lot of the problems that they have.
I think a lot of people are underrating how much he's going to help.
It doesn't make the offense better, but I also think they're going to shoot better. My final thought, or like my, we'll do this when we do our bold predictions, but one of mine is going to be that Marcus Smart is going to be everybody's least favorite Celtic before this year is over instead of their favorite. And we talked about this a little bit. But I'm pretty worried about that.
You guys got to that point in the East Finals.
It's 50 anymore, John. It's like 60-40. They're against them now.
I get there very fast, okay? It doesn't take long to get me
you
there.
You already got there in the East Finals.
Yeah. No, I'm saying
the people out there are 60-40?
Maybe it's still 50-50, but it was split down the middle all off season, I would say.
That's interesting. You're right. He's really polarizing. I think it's going to tip. He's going to drive away. Because it's
good right now, it's getting worse.
He's great when he gets to just be him and you don't rely on him to do other things. When you rely on him to do other things, that
I don't know what he's doing with the passing. It's absurd.
But that's the thing. His brain falls out of his head so often at critical times where you're like, oh, you know, like he makes bad turnovers at the worst time all the time, takes unnecessary risks with passes, reaches in on a dumb foul. Like he does that a ton. And then he makes up for it with like one ridiculous, like I've never seen any human do this before sort of play. And everybody forgets about it. But some of that stuff is mind blowing, you know?
I do. I know it all too well.
All right. Wednesday, opening night.
I'm not giving up on him yet though. I'm not giving up on the Celtics yet. Although it's, I'm a lot closer than I wanted to be before game one.
I love that comment, by the way. Closer to John than Bobby. I like the two ends of the spectrum.
I could be a teacher.
Yeah. It's like, are you more John or Bobby?
We're gonna have to do, and I'm gonna have, if Nick Gelsel's still watching, he has to make this graphic. It's like a meter and like John's on like the far end.
That'll be a film tomorrow.
Me and Joe Sway. And it's like, where are you on the Celtics?
The middle?
Like, meter. Yeah.
You think he's not making it right now? You're crazy.
Yes.
He's literally going to text all of us on the chain within minutes. What do you guys think?
Yeah, how's this look? Yeah, looks great.
And then you better tell him. You have to tell him that you like it right away.
Yeah.
Those thumbs have become my favorite part of the show.
Yeah. All right, we're going to wrap it up. Everything is bad. But doesn't mean it's going to stay that way. That's the way.
Hey, there's zero and zero. Remember that.
Everything was bad, but clean.
Everything is bad.
Yep. Clean
everything
slate.
Everything is bad.
We're good. That's it.
We don't have to talk about Kyrie being weird or kooky till Christmas.
Also, for one second.
Very soon.
We don't even have to comment on this, but we don't have to talk about this either anymore.
Oh, thank God we don't have to talk about this. Yeah.
It'll be all right, though.
Thoughts and prayers, Gordo. You could play connect the dots with Gordon Hayward's injuries and it would just like form his body.
Oh, we forgot to talk. Well, forget it. It's just a finger, but it wasn't the least surprising thing in the world.
No, it wasn't. All right.
All right, guys. We'll wrap it up. Thanks for Joe Sway, Jimmy.
We'll see everybody after the season opener, or what?
We might do a preview before that. When is it? Was it Wednesday? Wednesday?
Yeah, we got 2 days.
We might do something Monday, so we'll let you guys know. Okay. We might be back Monday for a season preview. We'll do some bold predictions, some superlatives, a few different things there, and we might solicit some questions, cool. Ask you guys where you stand on the meter with some things, the panic meter early in the season. But until then, we're going to wrap it up. Thanks for watching.